I want to continue this morning thinking with you about the parables of Jesus. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, I think one of the values of looking again and hearing again together the parables of Jesus is that the parables are meant to be portable. God intends that these parables will capture our imagination and go home with us. The way I put it few weeks ago is that the parables are meant for you to put them in your pocket and take them home with you, and then all during the week you keep taking them out and you hear them again and you think about them again and you keep asking yourself, what does this parable have to say to me today? What is this parable pointing me to? The parables are stories that should capture our thinking so that we keep going back to them again and again. And one day we may see one thing in that parable, but we may see something new based on what is happening that day to us. We may see something in that parable we had never thought about before. Before I read this parable this morning, and it's a very brief parable, but before I read this brief parable in Matthew chapter 13, I want to point out a few things that I hope will be helpful to you as you listen to this parable, as you take this parable home with you this week, as you continue to think about this parable. In chapter 13 of Matthew and verse 11, the first thing I would point out is that parables in general, and this in particular in this chapter, that the parables that Jesus tells, he says in verse 11, hold within them the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. They reveal what otherwise might be secret, what others may not see, and what may not be obvious to the casual observer. That the kingdom of heaven is not obvious to everyone, and that it requires some thinking, that it requires some application. A second thing I would point out to you is the other parables in this passage, this chapter. In chapter 13, verses 18 through 23, a very well-known parable, the parable of the sower, that some hear and they get it, but others do not. And it shouldn't surprise us that not everybody gets it when it comes to the kingdom of God. Or another parable, the parable of the weeds, there in chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. The parable of the weeds. What do you do when the evil one has come in and planted evil in the midst of the good? How do you handle that? And this parable says, in the kingdom of God, you just keep growing as you can and leave it up to God to bring the judgment at the end. Or there is this parable that's two verses long in chapter 13, verses 31 and 32, the parable of the mustard seed. And I think the reminder that the kingdom of God is not always obvious. The kingdom of God and the working of God and bringing His reign and His rule into the lives of people in this world may start very small in what seems to be very insignificant acts, and yet which will grow into something tremendous that would shock and surprise and bless everyone. And that really brings us to this other parable, the parable of chapter 13, verse 33. But notice also in chapter 13, verse 34, right after this parable that I'm going to read in just a moment, that in verse 34, it says that Jesus did parables and He did them all the time. He's just parable after parable. And the expectation is that those who have ears to hear are going to hear it, but there are going to be people that just won't get it and will not listen. And I want to say some things before I read chapter 13, verse 33, this short little parable, but I think a parable that kind of packs a punch. And that is, first of all, it mentions leaven. Now, our experience with leaven, if you have any experience at all, and it's probably the females who have more experience with leaven than the men, though there's exceptions to that. I make something called angel biscuits, and it uses leaven. And it's one of the few biscuits you can make that has leaven in it, like that. One of the things you do is you put the leaven in, you let it rise. But when you hear leaven in this parable, we're not talking about this dried leaven in a package that you activate by putting it in warm water and leaving it in a warm place so it starts bubbling and growing. That's not the leaven we're really talking about here. What we're talking about here is more along the lines of starter. Baking, you know, there's a starter sometimes for some things you bake. A starter, somebody gives you a little starter and then you add flour to that or other ingredients and you put it in and it grows. Sourdough starter, everybody heard of that? That's the kind of starter leaven or yeast that we're talking about here. It's a starter. And it's a starter in which this yeast, the enzymes in this yeast, this is the way yeast works, that the enzymes of this yeast begin to actually decompose what it's put into. And so that it changes starch into glucose. That's what's happening with leaven. That's what leaven does. And it causes growth. Puffs up. You start out with just a little pinch of it, and you put it in this flour, and these enzymes begin to work. And you could sit there, and you could watch it, but you're not going to see a lot happen real quickly. But you leave it for a while in the right kind of situation. A lot of times what we do if we need something to rise, you actually just set it in your oven, And even if you don't turn the oven on, it just holds the temperature a little better. It's very temperature sensitive. But you put a little pinch of that starter in there, and it just keeps having an effect, and it keeps having an effect. The second thing that you hear in this parable is that it says a woman. Duh. In the ancient world, who does the baking? The woman. Here is this woman who is doing this for her family. There are some men that do some baking. I do a little bit, very little. Just enough to say I do a very little. But here is this woman who is doing this baking. Everybody expects that's what she's going to do. Nobody really notices, I don't think, that she's doing this. Here's something else. Our English translations generally will say in the reading here, she mixes. Literally, what the original language says is not that she mixes it, it says she hides it. Literally, it says, she hides the leaven in the flour. She hides it. Sort of like any of you been around the Cajun people? You ever hear of a king cake? What is it that's hidden in the king cake? A little baby plastic Jesus. And you hide that in the batter, and then you cook the cake, and then somebody finds it, and they get the prize. They hide it. That's the idea here. She hides just a little bit. She hides just a little bit of leaven. And I say hide it, and you can understand the word hide a little better when you listen to what I say next. She hides it in 3 measures of flour. I always, up until I studied it this time, I never had picked up on this before. I always assumed when it said measured, it meant like cups, 3 cups of flour. That's pretty standard for recipe, 3 cups of flour. That's not what it says. 3 measures. The best that I can understand, 3 measures of flour is equal to something along somewhere between 40 and 60 pounds. Now, some of you men, that still hadn't, that hadn't absorbed yet. We're talking about a bunch. And by the way, there is a very humorous event that happens in Genesis 18. If you're doing the readings, you just read this not too long ago. In Genesis 18, verse 6, when Abraham and Sarah have 3 unexpected guests who show up. Heavenly guests. Who show up and they offer hospitality. In Genesis 18, verse 6, the man of the house says, "Sarah, make some little bread cakes." And when he says some, he specifically says 3 measures. Between 40 and 60 pounds of flour for 3 people. One person I was reading after said, that's basically like Abraham saying to Sarah, we've got 3 people here, why don't you make 60 dozen biscuits? We're talking about a bunch. And this woman in this parable, when you hear this, she's putting a little pinch of leaven, starter, in somewhere between 40 and 60 pounds of flour. That's a bunch. I want to read a translation done of this verse by Amy Jill Levine. Similar to the kingdom of heaven is leaven, that a woman taking hid in 3 measures of flour until all was leavened. I think you can buy flour in 5-pound bags. That's a big bag of flour. We're talking about probably 10 of those that this woman hides the leaven in. What does that say about the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is like a woman who hides a little bit of starter, a little bit of leaven, in about 10 5-pound bags of flour. That's a lot to think about. It's a short little parable, but what is Jesus saying both then and what is he saying to us now? In this short little parable, what should we put in our pocket from this parable? The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, starter. Yeast starter that's put in a big bunch of flour. I'll tell you what I've been thinking about this week. Maybe that'll be a starter for you. I think it tells us that the church that's made up of kingdom people, people who've bowed their knee to Jesus. Everybody, Philippians 2 tells us, everybody eventually is going to bow their knee to Christ. But who we are as the church is, we are those who have acknowledged His kingship now. And it's a lot better now than later. That the church, kingdom people, may not seem like much to outsiders looking at us. And we ought to just accept that. Because the church and the kingdom is not really about us anyway, is it? But outsiders looking at us may say, you know, there's not much to those folk. What they don't understand is we are leaven. Starter. And God is at work through us and among us, small though we may seem, insignificant though we may seem. Outsiders, and they look at this congregation. I don't know what they see. They may say, well, they're too few. They're too old. They're too faint. They're not too significant. But I think that's where God can best use us, when we realize that. Not simply that others see that, but we realize that, that we're starter. God just uses us as starter. And what that also tells us is that little by little, God can do amazing things with what seems to be insignificant at the beginning. That a little leaven can leaven the whole lump. That a little leaven can leaven even 10 5-pound bags of flour. Our world is a big world, isn't it? And our world prizes what is big, or what, as I had a teacher one time that used to say, the world admires what is biggest and hairiest and greasiest. That's what the world prizes. What seems powerful, what seems significant. And we are called in Jesus Christ to trust that God will do something remarkable in us, through us. Faint though we may be, small though we may be, God can do remarkable things because we're just yeast. We're simply leaven. And God is hiding. God is, I think that's a key word there in this parable, hiding. It's hidden in plain sight. God works through us in hidden ways. It may not seem such a big thing that tomorrow we'll have. Last week we had something over 60 high school students show up to eat lunch. It may not seem like such a big deal. I want to suggest to you that's some starter right there. That's some leaven. In a few weeks, we're going to have some homeless families that will stay the week in our church building. 4 times a year they do that. Some of you are the ones who provide an evening meal for them. And just someone looking from the outside might say, well, that's not such a big deal. But it seems to me that God looks at that and says, you know, I think I've got some starter right there. I've got some leaven right there. And I think that'll grow little by little. I think that may, in fact, grow. Those who teach Bible classes, in particular children's Bible classes, sometimes I know you have to wonder, are we making any headway here at all? I want to suggest to you that there's some leaven at work right there. May seem hidden. You wonder, is it really worthwhile? Kind of like the person who says, is it really worthwhile to just put a little leaven in these 10 5-pound bags of flour? I want to tell you, God can do remarkable things through what seems small and insignificant to most folk. God, I want to suggest to you this morning, God is doing some remarkable things. It's just hard to see it. And our tendency is to want to measure the worth of something by what we can see. But the kingdom of God is not like that. the kingdom of God and the progress of the kingdom of God is not so easily measured. You just hide it, and you hide it, and you hide it, and you hide it, and you watch and you wait, and every once in a while you open the refrigerator and you look at it again and you see, did anything happen? You open the oven door and you look at that and you say, did anything happen? And it may or may not, at least to our eyes. But it seems to me that what Jesus is saying in this parable and what he calls us to really think about is the hiddenness of the kingdom of God. I think God is like that woman who's baking, and God is hiding us in this world of 40 or to 60 pounds of flour. Who knows what God may do through you and me? Who knows? Won't it be exciting to see what God may do with a little bit of leaven and a whole lot of flour?